Birds are darting across the bow of a white 21-foot fiberglass skiff as Richie Spears heads out onto the blue-gray waters of Pamlico Sound. The 27-year-old, 6 feet tall with a red-cheeked, cherubic face, stands in green rubber overalls and black rubber boots. Spears is one of just two people in their 20s on Hatteras Island, still making their living as a fisherman.
We can only go up from here because we're down as far as we can go pretty much.
Spears says regulations, high volumes of imported fish and seafood, and rapidly rising land values are squeezing people out of the industry. He says many of his neighbors are selling their waterfront land to developers.
It's tempting for them to just want to sell it. They could put in private boat slips with condominiums, and there'd be nowhere for us to keep our boats, nowhere to sell fish, and it'd pretty much put us all out of business.
That's already happening in many places. Take the fish houses where fishermen take their catch to be cleaned and packed. Spears points to the Hatteras waterfront, where numerous fish houses used to stand.
The high prices of real estate have really changed coastal North Carolina. And we've already lost a lot of our tradition and our heritage and what we've had. And I'm not sure what's going to happen, but sometimes I feel like it's never going to be the same. You take all these younger people that have grown up here, and we can't even afford to buy property, and we can't even afford to pay the taxes on the property if we can't afford to buy it. You know, a lot of us are going to leave.
People such as Spears are at a crossroads. Do they continue to battle economic forces, or do they sell the land they and their families have lived on for generations? One of the last two remaining fish houses in Hatteras Village is owned by Jeff Aiken.
No fisherman's son is being encouraged to come into this business.
Developers say that's not their fault. The president of the North Carolina Home Builders Association, Dave Stormont, says developers are catering to a demand fueled by people who want to live or vacation on the coast.
The marketplace has spoken, and the building industry is responding to an obvious demand with supply.
There are people crafting creative solutions to preserve commercial fishing. A bill now before the legislature's Finance Committee would grant tax concessions to owners of working waterfronts. Their property taxes would be based on the current real estate value, and not on the land's projected value were it developed. Right now, fishing families are paying higher and higher taxes because their lands become so valuable. This kind of tax plan has preserved farm and timberland, but Jeff Aiken says it would not attract new fishermen.
Tax break for me as a property owner with docks and fish house on it, it's going to help me, but it's not going to inspire anyone to come along behind these fellas who are phasing out.
A switch turns on the conveyor belt at the last working fish house on Ocracoke Island. When it became known the owner was considering selling the waterfront land the fish house stands on, villagers and the 20-plus fishermen left on Ocracoke founded a nonprofit group to seek out grant money to make the owner an offer of their own. The owner's given the group 12 months to come up with the money. Robin Payne helped launch the nonprofit.
It helped save the culture. You know, this is a traditional maritime village. So if you lose the fishermen, you're not going to see the nets being mended in the yards, floats hanging from the trees. You're not going to see the crab pot mounds everywhere. You're going to miss that living village. And that's what people come down here for. They don't drive down here to go to a strip mall and to see condos.
Ocracoke fisherman Ernest Dosier is also part of the group. He supplements his income by taking tourists on deep-sea fishing excursions until the fall fishing season begins.
They see the guys pull up here with a catch, and they're lining up over on the dock because they want to see what they're interested in, what's going on, how people were making a living down here, how it was in the past.
There are other ways people are trying to halt what some call the inevitability of waterfront development. In Juanchis on Roanoke Island, residents have recently voted to rezone the town so that the waterfront can only be used for maritime activity. Bob Peel heads the North Carolina Seafood Industrial Park in Juanchis, a waterfront hub of marine-based businesses.
They had meetings on each street in Juanchis, invited the citizens, everybody in, who were able to say, look, I have crab shutters. I've had crab shutters for years in my backyard. I want to be able to keep those. I would qualify those as people making a living, but also part of our heritage. Based on the zoning, I think that's going to survive and be here in Juanchis. To me, a model of what coastal communities should be doing.
Susan West is the acclaimed author of Fish House Opera, a chronicle of the state's maritime culture.
There are some optimistic things going on. Primarily, state officials are now taking an interest in it. Is this interest coming too late? Will there be any working waterfronts left to preserve through property tax incentives or other programs that state leaders develop?
Wes says she doesn't know the answer to that question. It may depend on people such as Billy Carl Tillett. He's chairman of the North Carolina Fisheries Association, the commercial fishing industry's lobby group. He also runs Moon Tillett Fish Company, a Wan Chees processing house.
The developer hasn't walked in the door and offered us millions for it. But I have to say, if there's enough millions, you're going to think twice.
And the future of the state's commercial fishing industry rests in part on the decisions fishing families make. Lorne Madelon, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.